Who is our Baal Musaf this morning, along with the men's club. Those of you who are our regulars know this, but those of you who are either new to us or here infrequently, everybody was a pinch hitter this morning. We had guest chazans and guest Torah readers and guest drasher. Because this morning was Men's Club Shabbat, when the Men's Club, identified by their red kippot, and friends of the Men's Club, identified by their red kippot, take over the service. And if you ask yourself, why do the men take over the service on Shabbat HaGadol? The short answer is because the women are busy. But the men, not so much. Because before Pesach, despite our best efforts, and speaking here as a representative of the men, we make some effort. Despite that, it is primarily, at least up until very modern times, and even in most homes still today, women who create the Pesach atmosphere in the home, which of course has given rise to endless jokes about how liberation from slavery was only for men in the Jewish tradition. And of course the immortal Pesach joke, which you may or may not know, about the couple who lives in Eastern Europe, and their non-Jewish friend tells them, look, a very unsympathetic ruler is coming. I advise you to convert to Christianity immediately. It's really the only way you'll spare yourselves. So the man goes home and he says to his wife, look, we got to convert. There's nothing we can do. It's the only way to save ourselves. So they convert. A year goes by. Friend comes to them and says, I'm so grateful that that leader is gone with his horrible ways and his horrible laws. A much more sympathetic guy's come in. Go right ahead. Convert back. Resume your old life. The man runs home to his wife. He says, I have wonderful news. We can convert back. She says, could we wait till after Pesach? Because it's a burden. And it's trouble. And what I want to try to explain this morning is why it's so much trouble. Not legally. Not why, according to Jewish traditions, you have to go through all this trouble. But why should a holiday be work? In fact, the Hebrew name for holiday, which is chag, means a circle. And do you know where it comes from? It comes from dancing around in a circle. I don't know about you, but in my circle, right before Pesach, there's not a lot of dancing around in a circle. There's a lot of switching plates and cleaning plates and checking ingredients and going to markets, but not so much dancing in circles. And the question is why? And I want to offer three reasons. Why, in fact, the labor of the holiday is indispensable to the celebration of the holiday. And that without one, you don't have the other. And the first is work, amal. The idea that historical empathy to actually understand what someone went through requires, in some small way, a reenactment. Now, the Seder is supposed to be a reenactment, but the truth is, it's not a reenactment of work. It is the preparation for the holiday that's a reenactment of work. And even though, obviously, cleaning your home and genuine slavery are not the same, at every point, for everybody who has truly prepared for Passover, it is almost inconceivable that you don't stop at some point and say, oh my God, I'm really working hard. Better, yeah, because won't stay up for the Seder tonight if he has to listen to the whole sermon. And that idea is that ritual is about a recognition of the spirituality of the body. Take your hand. press it against your seat for a second. Press it hard, really hard, till you almost can't stand it. Do you feel how much you feel that? Our body is the center of the most vivid sensations we have. And there are forms of spirituality that try to escape the body because it is so insistent, it's so much with us. But there is another way, which is to believe that the sensations of the body can be elevated to holiness. When you work, you feel it. You feel lugging those plates up in your lower back, bending over, pushing hard as you scrub a pot. Actually, as much as that seems like the farthest thing in the world from a religious action, it can become a religious action. Cleaning the corner of a kitchen, if you do it b'kavanah, which means with the intention of fulfilling the mitzvah, can be a religious action. Remember what the Kotzke Rebbe said when they asked him, what was the most important thing to your teacher? As he stood at the grave of the rabbi that he had studied with, and his student asked him that question, he said, the most important thing to my teacher was whatever he was doing at the moment. If you prepare with that in mind, you realize that the preparation is the chag. The preparation is almost like what they used to say, lahavdil, which is a Hebrew word, meaning, I know I'm about to make an analogy that's not a good one, but you'll understand. They used to say that Alfred Hitchcock, when he would shoot a movie, would map it all out in his head, and then the actual shooting of it was an anticlimax for him. Because it was the preparation, the getting ready, the visualization, the having it there, that was, in fact, what it was all about. And there is some of that to Pesach, too. By the time you are ready for the Seder, anything that happens at the Seder is an addendum to the tremendous work that has been put in to get there. And it's not work anywhere, which is the second part. It is work in our homes. We're changing the place we live. And that is a powerful thing. It speaks to the spirit of the holiday, since after all, what is the Exodus? It's about changing the place where you live, both externally, going from one spot to another, but also internally. Your home isn't the same anymore. It's different. You have cleansed it of chametz. And remember, I'm going to come to the second meaning of chametz in a minute, but the first meaning of bread in the Jewish tradition, as opposed to matzah, is what? Matzah is flat, and bread rises. So say the rabbis, what you have to get rid of is ego. Bread is ego. It's all puffed up. Matzah is humility. And by the time you have cleaned the house, and you feel that you have in fact been serving something higher than yourself, you're ready for matzah. Your home is different, and so, one hopes, is one's heart. And then we come to the third meaning. Once we have changed everything, and we have changed it, by the way, it's our doing. God doesn't clean out the matzah for us. We have to do it all by ourselves. Then we're ready. Then we are prepared to bring God in for this holiday. Because the other meaning of the chametz, of the leaven, is the way we act all during the year. You can always have bread, and you can never think about it until you come to Pesach. And suddenly you are obligated to think of things differently. Because every time you sit down to eat, you know that you can't eat whatever you want. And of course, that is an indispensable piece of the spirituality of the body, that you are reminded every day in what you do, in what you eat, that this which we are given is intended not to be denied, but to be elevated. And so now your home is new, and you're ready. Pesach is about change, not being the same as we are in the rest of the year, because the most deadening thing to spiritual life is constant sameness. If you do the same thing day after day, year after year, then your spirit never wakes up. The only way to shock us into a recognition of the variety of the world, the variety of our lives, and even the possibility that we can be different is to do things differently. Whatever your practice, try not eating bread this week. If for no other reason, then you can say, you know what, it is actually possible for me to go through a week without eating bread. It is important to surprise ourselves, to take on new disciplines, to change our locus, our orientation, the way we look at the world, at our bodies, at our homes, at ourselves. And then, when we sit at the Seder, to tell the story. And to remember that, as the Latin proverb puts it, if you change the name, the story is about you. We too are enslaved. Not, thank God, to something external, but to thousands of internal expectations, voices, shackles, certainties. We too, whether we like it or not, are on a journey. And how we regard ourselves and the journey is the test of the quality of our spiritual lives. And we too, just like the Israelites in the Haggadah, are headed someplace that we will never reach. In the Haggadah, it is always next year in Jerusalem. Even in Jerusalem, they say, next year, in Jerusalem, Habanuya, the rebuilt. A Jerusalem that is different and better from this earthly land. We work because nothing that doesn't involve all of us, our bodies, our hearts, our souls, can fully transform us. We do it in our homes because it is too easy to feel different somewhere else and not feel different in your own home. What college student hasn't had that experience? You go away from home, you're in college, you feel different, you look at the world differently, you come home and everything is the same. People treat you the same, you find you treat them the same, you fall into old patterns, and you realize the key is to be mature enough to change at home, not just to change when you're away. And so we change our homes. And now, with all of us involved, our homes change, our hearts ready, we tell the story, and we feel the connection to God. We have made ourselves different through meditation, through prayer, through faith, through history. And we sit around at the Seder, as Jews have done for thousands of years, and we tell the story of our people, and we remember. And then we open the door. We open the door to let out some things, and also to bring some things in. To let out the frustrations, the anger, the indignities that we have experienced in the past, and to usher in redemption. And when redemption comes in, it comes into a different place in our homes, in ourselves, and in our hearts. Remember that Pesach is the holiday not just of liberation, but of preparation. It begins the days that we count down to go to Mount Sinai. It is the start of the change. So think now, as spring dawns and the world renews itself, what it is that you want to be different inside of yourself, in your relationship to those whom you love, and in your connection to God. And then, as you lift your cup tonight and tomorrow night, ask God to come in and to help you change, to renew your soul as God renews the world, so that 50 days from now, when the time comes to stand at Sinai once again, on Shavuot, on the holiday of receiving the Torah, we will be able to feel purified and renewed, and to say to God, as our ancestors did at the mountain, Hineni, I am here, to realize what it is you want for me in this world, to find a Pesach, a law, a Torah, a place on its way to redemption, with its fruits in all our lives, in love, in kindness, and in peace. Shabbat Shalom.